$700 million in personal loans collateralized against your own company's stock. While you're running a $239 billion alternative asset manager, at the exact moment private credit is facing its first real stress test in a generation. That's not risk management. That's a bet. And in recent sessions, Blue Owl's co-CEOs decided to cash out. The question isn't whether this matters. The question is, what does it tell us about what they see coming? Welcome back to Edge Capital Insights. I'm Sloan. Today, we're going deep on executive leverage, hidden risk in alternative asset management, and what happens when the people running the machine start backing away from it. Blue Owl Capital sits at the intersection of everything that's made investors nervous about private markets over the past 18 months. They manage $239 billion across private credit, GP capital solutions, and real estate strategies. They're a top five player in direct lending. And their co-CEOs, Doug Ostrover and Mark Lipschultz, just unwound personal leveraged positions worth more than $700 million. Bloomberg broke the story earlier this week. The timing is exquisite. Private credit default rates are climbing. The $1.5 trillion market that everyone built fortunes on during the zero rate era is now facing its first legitimate default cycle. And the executives running one of its flagship firms are deleveraging their personal balance sheets. Coincidence? Maybe. But let me walk you through why this matters more than it looks. Start with what Blue Owl actually is. This isn't some boutique fund with $3 billion in assets and a quirky strategy. Blue Owl manages serious capital. They emerged from the merger of Owl Rock Capital and Dyal Capital in 2021, right at the peak of the alternative asset management boom. They went public via SPAC, because of course they did, at a valuation north of $12 billion. The firm specializes in what the industry calls permanent capital solutions. That's code for, we provide debt and equity to private equity firms and middle market companies that can't or won't access traditional bank financing. When banks retreated after the financial crisis, firms like Blue Owl filled the vacuum. They built empires on it. Ostrover and Lipschultz came up through Credit Suisse and Neuberger Berman before launching Owl Rock. They're sophisticated operators, former investment bankers, the kind of executives who understand credit cycles in their sleep, which makes their recent move all the more interesting. According to the Bloomberg reporting, these personal loans secured by Blue Owl shares were part of a fairly common executive compensation structure. You pledge your equity, you borrow against it, you avoid triggering taxable events while maintaining liquidity. Happens all the time in corporate America, especially among founder CEOs at companies with concentrated ownership. But here's what the corporate governance textbooks don't tell you. When you pledge equity, you create a structural vulnerability. If the stock price drops below a certain threshold, you face margin calls. And when you're talking about $700 million in borrowed money, those margin calls can get existential fast. Ask Bill Huang how that works. Archegos Capital Management collapsed in 2021 because Huang had built a massively leveraged position in stocks like Viacom CBS and Discovery using total return swaps and pledged shares. When those positions moved against him, he couldn't meet the margin calls. The unwind was catastrophic. Five banks lost more than $10 billion combined. Credit Suisse alone took a $4.7 billion hit. Now, Blue Owl is not Archegos. Ostrover and Lipschultz are not running a family office loaded with hidden derivatives exposure. But the structural logic is identical. Leverage magnifies everything. On the way up, you look like a genius. On the way down, you're fighting for survival. And the timing of their deleveraging raises questions, because private credit, Blue Owl's bread and butter, is entering uncharted territory. Let me give you the bull case first, because if you think this is just standard executive housekeeping, you need to hear the strongest version of that argument. The bull case goes like this. Ostrover and Lipschultz are doing what any rational executive would do. They built a company, it went public, they're crystallizing some gains and simplifying their personal balance sheets. The leverage wasn't reckless. $700 million sounds like a staggering number, but for executives with net worths in the billions tied up in a public company, it's actually conservative compared to what they could have borrowed. Moreover, and this is important, unwinding these positions now in an orderly fashion is exactly what responsible executives should do. They're not waiting for a crisis. They're not getting forced out by margin calls. They're proactively reducing risk. In the Morgan Stanley analyst community, there's a school of thought that says this kind of disciplined deleveraging is actually a sign of strength. It shows they're focused on long-term stability rather than maximizing short-term personal liquidity through leverage. Add to that, Blue Owl's fundamentals remain solid. The firm reported strong performance across its strategies. Assets under management are up. Management fees are flowing. The machine is running. The fact that the CEOs are adjusting their personal finances has no bearing on the operational health of the firm itself. And here's the part that defenders of Blue Owl will hammer. This is common practice. Walk through the proxy statements of any alternative asset manager, Blackstone, Apollo, KKR, Carlyle, and you'll find executives with pledged shares and personal credit lines secured by equity. It's part of how you manage concentrated wealth when 90% of your net worth is locked up in a single stock. You don't sell it all and trigger massive tax bills. You borrow against it, it's finance 101. So the benign interpretation is simple. Two sophisticated executives made a calculated decision to reduce personal leverage at a time when their company's stock has performed well enough to allow an orderly unwind. Nothing to see here. Move along. That's the bull case. Now let me tell you why it's wrong. Because the bear case isn't about Blue Owl specifically. It's about what Blue Owl represents. And what these executives know that the rest of us are only beginning to see. Private credit has grown from a niche corner of finance to a $1.5 trillion market in less than 15 years. That growth happened because money was free, banks were regulated out of middle market lending, and private equity firms needed flexible debt providers who wouldn't ask too many questions. Firms like Blue Owl became the new shadow banks. But unlike traditional banks, private credit funds don't have the same regulatory oversight, capital requirements, or transparency mandates. They operate in the dark. Their portfolio company financials aren't public. Their loan-level data is proprietary, and the valuations they report to limited partners are based on models. Now add this. Default rates in private credit are climbing. Credit Sites projects defaults will hit 3.5% by the end of 2025, up from 2.5% in 2023. That might not sound dramatic, but in a $1.5 trillion market, every 50 basis points of default rate increase represents billions in losses. And here's the kicker. Private credit funds can't just dump their loans when things go sideways. These are illiquid instruments, no secondary market, no public pricing. When a portfolio company defaults, the fund has to work it out restructure the debt, take equity, hope for an eventual recovery. That process takes years. During those years, the fund can't return capital to LPs. And if multiple portfolio companies hit trouble at the same time, you get a liquidity crunch. Goldman Sachs analysts have warned about exactly this scenario. They've used the phrase liquidity crisis in private credit research notes, not a prediction, a warning. So when the co-CEOs of a top five direct lending firm start unwinding $700 million in personal leverage, right as their market is entering its first legitimate stress test, you have to ask, what do they see in their portfolio that we don't? The historical parallel here isn't just Archaeos, it's also the run-up to the financial crisis. In 2006 and 2007, executives at Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers were quietly reducing their personal exposure to their firm's stock. Not because they were dumb, because they were smart. They saw the mortgage exposure, they understood the leverage ratios, they knew the models were built on sand, but they couldn't say that publicly. So they did what executives always do when they see trouble coming. They protected themselves first. Is that what's happening at Blue Owl? I don't know. But the pattern recognition is hard to ignore. So what does this mean for you? Let's walk through the stakeholders. If you're a limited partner in a Blue Owl fund, you should be asking harder questions during the next capital call. Not about the co-CEO's personal finances specifically, but about portfolio composition, default rates, and workout assumptions. The funds don't fail because the executives deleverage. The funds fail because the underlying credits deteriorate faster than the models predicted. If you're an institutional investor considering an allocation to private credit, this should recalibrate your risk assessment. Not because Blue Owl is uniquely dangerous, but because the entire asset class is facing a regime change. We're moving from an environment where defaults were theoretical to one where they're actual. The managers who survived the growth phase aren't necessarily the ones who'll survive the stress phase. If you're a retail investor who bought Blue Owl stock, and yes, there are plenty of you because this thing trades publicly, you need to understand what you own. This is not a diversified asset manager. This is a leveraged bet on private credit performance. If the default cycle gets worse, the stock will reflect that long before the funds do. And if you're a regulator, and I know some of you listen to this show, you should be looking very carefully at concentration of leverage at the executive level across the alternative asset management space. Because when the people running these firms have hundreds of millions in personal loans collateralized by company stock, they have structural incentives that don't always align with long-term fund performance or systemic stability. Here's what Ostrover and Lipschultz said in their statement to Bloomberg. We have been working to optimize our personal balance sheets and reduce our leverage, which will allow us to focus on growing the business and creating value for our investors. Notice what they didn't say. They didn't say the timing was arbitrary. They didn't say private credit fundamentals look great. They didn't say they're buying more Blue Owl stock with the proceeds. They said they're reducing leverage. Full stop. And when executives whose entire careers have been built on leverage decide it's time to reduce it, you should probably ask yourself why. Because leverage works both ways. It amplifies returns when things are going well, but it amplifies losses when they're not. And right now, in private credit, the direction of travel is becoming very clear. Morgan Stanley can argue this is normal executive compensation restructuring. JP Morgan can claim it's actually a positive sign of risk management. But those analyst reports are written for institutional clients who need a narrative to justify their existing positions. They're not written for people trying to figure out where the market is actually going. So here's my read. Blue Owl's co-CEOs are not stupid. They're not panicking. They're doing what smart executives do when they see storm clouds forming. They're battening down the hatches. They're reducing personal risk exposure before the market forces them to. That's not a crisis, but it's absolutely a signal. The private credit boom created fortunes. A lot of those fortunes were built on hidden leverage, not just at the fund level, but at the personal level. Executives borrowed against their equity to maintain liquidity while avoiding taxes. That worked brilliantly when stock prices only went up. But now we're entering a different phase. Default rates are rising, liquidity is tightening, and the executives who built this market are starting to protect themselves. You should too. Here's what I think happens next. We'll see more of this, not necessarily at Blue Owl specifically, but across the alternative asset management space. Executives will quietly reduce pledged share positions. They'll frame it as routine balance sheet optimization. The stock won't crash because of it. But the pattern will become clear, and 6 months from now, when private credit defaults are higher than anyone wanted to admit, we'll look back at moments like this and realize the smart money was already moving. That's Edge Capital Insights for today. I'm Sloan. Stay sharp. Stay skeptical.